Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is taken from Romans chapter 4 at two different places. First, verses 4 and 5. Now to one who works, his wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as his due. And to one who does not work, but trust him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. And then in verse 17, it is God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Dear friends in Christ, on the basis of these texts and with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we shall consider briefly the theme justification unto life, noting first that God justifies the ungodly, and secondly, that God gives life. God justifies the ungodly. The basis of our justification, as St. Paul emphasizes in Romans, is the grace of God, not our merit. A person who has worked at a job receives earnings or wages in proportion to his labor, if his employer is fair and square. But since mankind is ungodly, godless, impious, and has even rebelled against God and therefore is incapable of acquiring merit, we must depend solely on God's grace. In Jesus' parable of the laborers in the vineyard, in Matthew 20, those who worked shorter hours received far more than they had reason to expect, while the householder had specified wages for the first group and had promised the next group a fair wage. There is no mention of such an agreement with the men hired around 5 p.m. that the last received the same remuneration as those who had worked all day must be attributed to the grace of the householder. None can say he was unfair. The first man had agreed to work for a denarius, and that is what each received. In the case of the 11th hour laborers, the employer simply went beyond what they had earned and expected. Also, the blessed man of Psalm 32, quoted in verses 7 and 8 of our scripture reading, is not the sinless man, but the one whose sins God does not count against him, whose sins are forgiven. It is not a matter of being and doing good. It is being in a new relationship with God through the imputed righteousness of Christ. The receiving hand is faith, not the works required under the law. What did faith mean to Abraham? Total dependence on God, even when it meant leaving home without knowing where he would be taken. It meant a reliance upon God to perform the impossible and the unreasonable. It also meant an unswerving allegiance to God, even if it meant obeying the command to sacrifice his own son Isaac. The beneficiaries of justification are Abraham and all who believe, some among the circumcised and uncircumcised. We must, with St. Paul, distinguish between Israel after the flesh, which produced Judaism and all the restrictive legalism of post-exilic law, and the Israel of God, which springs from the true heart of the Old Testament faith and carries us back from Christ through the insight of the prophets to the covenant with God at Sinai and beyond that to the faith of Abraham. To the Israel of God, Paul says in Galatians 6, belong Jews and Gentiles. As he says in Galatians 3, they who are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. This justification, furthermore, means that God gives life. God's grace not only forgives sin, it also gives life to Abraham, to his offspring, and to every believer. God gives life to the dead. As we read in verse 17, God calls into existence the things that do not exist. In the working of the divine plan, there are two creations. The first is that of Genesis 1 and 2. The second is described in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Both creations are accomplished by the concurrent operation of the Spirit and the Word of God. According to Genesis 1, the Spirit, Ruach, of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said. The psalmist declares in Psalm 33, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath, Ruach, of his mouth. Jesus Christ, the eternal Logos, is the mediator of both creations. All things were made by him. John 1:3. When the time had fully come, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, bringing grace and truth. Jesus' death provided the basis for this new creation. Paul affirms in 2 Corinthians 4:6, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. An element of mystery is present in both creations. No one can fully understand how the Almighty created and shaped matter in the beginning, nor how one is born of water and the Spirit. How the physical universe shall figure in the reconciliation of all things by Jesus Christ, only God knows. Abraham believed that God would restore life to his and Sarah's well-nigh dead bodies. He believed there would be a son called into existence in keeping with the divine promise. The object of our faith is the same as that of Abraham. God himself. Yet the Spirit is different, for we live in the presence of an accomplished redemption. Upon us the fulfillment of ages has come, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10. Through Jesus Christ's once for all saving work, God gives life to the spiritually dead. By virtue of Christ's resurrection, he will one day grant spiritual bodies to the physically dead. With this firm faith, then, in God's grace, which grants justification unto life, we approach his table this morning that we may be strengthened in our service as a response to his grace. Amen.